Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with immediately actionable steps and deep wisdom to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Bill Proxman. Bill is a man on a mission to raise awareness of the power of music as self-care. He is a successful IT entrepreneur who holds magna cum laude degrees in piano performance and creative writing, and brings music to audiences in non-traditional ways. In 2011, he launched Music Care, Inc., a for-purpose corporation that teaches practical ways music can be used for self-care. His work was recognized by the National Council for Behavioral Health with an award of excellence in 2014, the behavioral health equivalent of winning an Oscar. I met Bill in person in San Diego a few months back at the New Media Summit event. He was visiting with his coach. He wasn't attending the event, but he was on site and visiting with his coach, who's a fellow podcaster of mine, Sean Douglas. And I had the pleasure of meeting him at dinner. And what a lovely man he is. And so I'm really delighted to have you here on the show, Bill, bringing your unique brand of music and magic to our men on purpose around the world. Welcome.
Thank you, Emerald. And so great to be here.
Yeah. Well, you are just awesome. And I am really curious about this calling that you have. Like a successful IT entrepreneur who's bringing music together in a for-purpose corporation. I need to have a little bit more clarity on exactly what that all means and what that all looks like. And more importantly, what was the impetus behind this? What was the calling that brought you to do this, to create this? And what was the experience of receiving the calling?
Oh, golly. So I can explain the IT thing quicker because music and math kind of go together. And I had to have a sideline to let me, you know, feed my habit, which is playing the piano. So IT has kept me in the chips, which is a good thing because I love playing the piano. And to do that when you're not one of the five or six people who can play classical piano for a living in the world, you've got to be able to support your habit. So I've had this habit for a long time. And as you said, playing for non-traditional audiences. So what was the calling? I started to notice the way that audiences respond to music really young, like 6, 7 years old. And I was at a piano recital, played the last piece on the program. It was that wonderful melody, going home. And my piano teacher was moving away. And after I played, she was smiling, clapping, but she was also crying. And I'm this little kid, and I don't know how you can laugh and cry at the same time, but it stuck with me. You know, it's like those experiences stick. And I've had so many of those kinds of experiences that I can't explain. And I think it's from reaching out and actually being willing to play the piano at Nordstrom back in the day and just be in an environment where music isn't normally the thing that's tenderized me maybe to the fact that people want music. They want it in some way. Maybe they don't know why. But when someone comes up to you and says, Bill, thank you for playing that song. I really needed to hear it. That gets your attention. And so I've been answering that call more of an encouragement, I think, Emma, more than anything else. Those little encouraging things that come along have just minded me throughout my life to a place where, thankfully, there's research and I've, you know, grown old enough to understand what's happening, where we can offer music to people as a tool that all of us respond to, but not many of us know how to use intelligently. So that's been the eventual result of where I've gone and what, 55 years at the keyboard now? It's a long time.
And it is a long time.
It's a beautiful place to be. You know, I'm alive today because of music. I have no trouble sharing that. And I think there are other people who want to enliven where they are, to go beyond coping, you know, and just trying to make things hold together and really reach towards self-actualization and transcendence. And someone needs to pull them there, or something needs to pull them there. I believe the thing is music, and I believe the people are the ones who are in that business of coaching and encouraging and mentoring and just helping people rise up beyond a level of subsistence to a real, true level of growth.
Mm, beautiful. Well, there is a ton to unpack just in what you just said. So which direction do I want to go here? I think what I want to say is I'm really excited that you love piano so much and that you played it for 55 years. My mom made me take piano lessons and I hated it. I took piano lessons for 8 years and I will play chopsticks and that's about it on the piano. But I totally align with the theory as well as the experience of music and sound in particular. So sound in particular being an instrument for amplifying consciousness and being an instrument for enlivening and awakening and activating latent potential in people and for creating healing and all of those things. In fact, I actually produced my own Crystal Singing Bowl CD back in 2009. It was an award-winning Crystal Singing Bowl CD, and I hadn't listened to it for quite a while. And I happened to have a bunch of people show up last night. We did a spontaneous meditation and we put my CD on. And so I was like, oh, I feel so much better today. I think I need to listen to my own music every now and then. So what I want to ask you is really about this idea of music being able to be an instrument that will take you to rise up beyond subsistence level on the one hand, but on the other hand, this storyline of in order for me to actually do my music, I need to supplement my income. So there's a conflict there that I would love to have you dive into a little bit and maybe with your musical brain or your mathematical brain, talk about if you have any vision around how do we unleash money such that it starts to serve the enlightenment through whatever tools.
This question has such insight, and I've been wanting to answer it for a long time. So I'm actually ready with an answer for that. Whenever you make music for people, you're reaching out and touching them. The sounds that you make, you know, the vibrations, they hit our eardrums. And if that touch isn't done with intent, it can be hurtful. And I think a lot of people who experience music they don't like feel that in some way. On the other hand, you know, the next guy in the room might listen to the same music and love it. So the point is, if you're a musician, you're making this touch happen, and your recordings are out there, they're translating that sort of holographic image of what you made as music to the person who listens to it. That touch had better be good. And as a musician, you need to be responsible for that touch. We have a great power on stage to be able to influence people with sound. And there's lots of science that explains that. And if we're going out there with the wrong kind of intention, it's not going to be good. So my hope is that we can influence musicians to own that and take responsibility for it and actually begin to say to their audiences, and here's what's next. Here's what's going to happen now. There are people out there who are doing that, I think, very effectively already, whether or not they know it, people like Lizzo and Billie Eilish. And somebody I just heard recently, Brittany Howard, they're taking a message that's contemporary, whether it's about racism or whatever, and putting that into their music in a way their audiences can really bring into their hearts, not as an answer, but just as an awareness, like, oh my gosh, here's someone who's doing it. So the more musicians that we can inspire with that inflection and that conscious ownership, I think the more value people will find in music. Because people will be turning to music not just as entertainment or background, but turning to it to do behavioral health care, to do physical health care, hopefully to do mental health care as well. That's a big part of it, keeping your brain quiet enough to do what you have to do. And then, of course, turning to it for spiritual, as you're talking about with the singing bowls, turning to it for spiritual connection, for oneness, for consciousness, for awareness, for the impetus to something bigger. And the coolest thing about music is that it works in all four ways. Anyway, you can't just go and hear spiritual music. It's also affecting you mentally, emotionally, and physically, right? And same with all the other kind of music that's out there. Dance music, I've never been so inspired, and I don't dance, as when I'm on the dance floor and, you know, we've got that incredible kick drum going. That's just a spiritual experience. And our culture is a little slow on this stuff. There are cultures in the world where that's just the way that they do spirit or the way that they do resilience. It's music. Mm. So let's catch up and let's make more than that. Let's make the value of music more present with us. Bring it home. let it in and intelligently let it in, knowing that it's having this amazing effect on us. That's the mission.
Beautiful. And that's the mission of Music Care.
That is.
Beautiful. Well, okay. So I do want to just challenge you a little bit though, because you're an IT guy, you're an entrepreneur, an IT entrepreneur who subsidizes or has subsidized your music through doing something that's not music. You know, have you given any thought? I'm going to challenge you to give some thought to, can a piece of music be created that then gets inseminated into the system, right? To open people to recognize the value and begin to monetize the industry so that we can, at some point very soon, transcend the quote, I'm going to put this in quotes, starving artist archetype. Because what I heard you say is, let's get the musicians to be more intentional. And frankly, most of the musicians that I know and have met and have listened to are pretty intentional. And so the other side of that coin is the people who are holding the coin, right? How do we create that bridge between those worlds, perhaps using music? And you don't have to answer that question right now, because we are going to take a quick break. But I want you to sit with it while we are on the break, and maybe you'll have something for us on the other side. All right, Men on Purpose, we need your help. If you're enjoying this show and want us to stay on the air, please consider making a donation at www.menonpurposepodcast.com, because this is not a philanthropy, just to be clear. We'd also like to ask you to share with your lovely lady friends that a brand new show is now being broadcast just for them, called Wickedly Smart Women Podcast. Help a gal out and let your sisters, mothers, daughters, wives, and female friends and colleagues know about our new show so we can serve them with great content too. Thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. And I want to shout out this episode to our listeners in, I feel like, Senegal, that country where there is music is like part of the culture and it's the spirit of the culture. So we'll shout out to Senegal, and we'll be right back with Bill Potsman.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Bill Protzman. You can find out more about Bill and Music Care at quest.musiccare.net. And before we went to the break, I challenged Bill. So, Bill, do you have thoughts on creating some kind of way, whether it's with IT, information technology, or music, or probably some combination of both, to open the gateways and to transcend this starving artist archetype for intentional musicians?
This is a question that I've been answering for about 10 years now, so it's not quite as much a surprise. Artists who collaborate with people who are outside their lane are doing very well. And I think if we can encourage artists of all kinds, of all genres, to work together with people who need what they have, then first of all, we're going to solve the starving artist. It's kind of a myth, but yes, there are a lot of artists who, like me, have two lines, you know, so they can support what they do. But we can solve that if we can bring artists together with people who know that they need what art will open for them or what music will open for them. So that means that I give presentations to corporate executives and work with people on how music is affecting them, because that helps me fund the outreach that I do to homeless people and veterans. And it's important that we serve both, but that's collaborative rather than competitive. I think we're beyond the model where we have to license everything. And music is, you know, you can license music, that's fine. But the idea of using music is not something you can license. People will try, I guarantee it, they will try. But it's available to all of us. And it's free. And if you are aware of it, open a book, read some research, whatever, you can use it. So I'm there to help people enliven their use of music that they already know how to do. They've just sort of not really brought it up as a tool yet. So I think we're in the right lane. I don't believe, though, that bigger, better, faster and the mentality that got us into to SEOing everything and all of that, I don't think that's the way that you're going to promote an authentic purpose like this. Mm. It's how do you monetize a movement? You know, the movement will happen. And if there's money in it, you'll find out about that later. But right now, it's focus on the movement and focus on the authenticity and the practices that will get us there can't be disconnected from what you're trying to teach, right?
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. I love that. I really love that. I want to hear more about this idea of a for-purpose corporation, because this is the first guest I've had on the show, and you are guest number 143, I think, who came to the show. I mean, I've heard of social entrepreneurship and a variety of other ways that people talk about being purposeful and intentional with their corporations and their business creations. But this is the first time somebody came on the show, and it says right in your bio that your corporation is a for-purpose corporation. So tell us a little bit more about what the purpose is and, you know, what inspired you to determine that it was important to create this as a offering, as a contribution into the world, because you didn't have to create anything. You could have kept on going as an IT entrepreneur and doing your piano on the side, and now you have this other thing. So now you have three things going on.
Oh, that's only the three you see.
Yeah, exactly. You're creative. So tell us about your creative process.
So this for-purpose corporation, the tax law in the United States needs to change a little bit, because nonprofits, the way it's currently set up, are not sustainable. They have to beg for money every year just to keep the lights on, and that's not right. For-profits also don't have a way of being able to offer any tax advantages to people who want to help them. So I've worked in the nonprofit side for a long time as a volunteer at various different levels and board positions and on the street. And I've been, of course, in the for-profit side for a while too. And I think that some sort of a blend is necessary. And I'm not the only one who's thinking this. There are people out there at high levels working to change the tax code and whatever. But for-purpose basically says to everybody, we're charging you an incredibly high price so that we can subsidize our work for people who can't pay anything. Mm. And then we basically declare the income, and then we give some of it away with no tax benefits because we just want to do that. Mm. And I don't know how big that is. I've heard different companies say 10% or whatever. There's companies that you'd know if I mention them by name who are very much in the for-profit industry, but they have a defined give back of some kind. They're for-purpose. And we do too. 10% I think is the minimum. And I think that we should be publishing our numbers. You go to my website, musiccare.net, you'll see my numbers right at the bottom. They're not impressive. But I want people to know that this is part of what it means to be doing what we do. Mm. That there are people who need what we have, and we want to give it to them. Mm. And that being a customer of Music Care helps us to do that. Beautiful. That's for purpose.
Beautiful. So when people come to be a customer, like what kind of customers do you have who are investing at a high level that allows you to be subsidizing? And yes, there are plenty of companies out there that are, one is a good example is the Life is Good company. Life is Good, I'm very into Life is Good. I'm local, they're local to me, and they give 10% to their Life is Good Kids Foundation, which is actually embraced within the center of the company. So I'm very familiar with that model. So if you would say to us, like, who are your customers and what are they buying from you and who are you subsidizing and what are you underwriting with these profits?
Right. So the people that deserve it the most are folks who can't pay. And in San Diego, that means homeless people. And it means veterans who are blown up and are trying to find some way back into life. And it means people who are transitioning out of both of those places into a more useful place in society. So when it comes to giving back, that's mostly time, although it does cost some money to take the equipment and move things around. So those are the people that are closest to my heart in terms of service. And there are so many things to choose, but for now, those are the people that I've been in the lane with, so I'm going to stay there. When it comes to operationally working, taking what I've been doing as a volunteer or subsidizing for myself for a long time and turning it into a sustainable, durable, money-making machine, you can do that online with, you know, online courses and products, and we actually have a line of CBD products that we sell. I mean, there's ways of getting it out there and subsidizing it, but my current goal is to reach coaches and mentors and caregivers and people who are already trying to serve a population. Therapists are overwhelmed right now. with tools that they can use to help people care for themselves when they're not in the chair or on the couch or wherever it is that they go to interact with their coach. If I can do that, it's a force multiplier. And you know, the business is going to come. I'm not too concerned about the business. You get the idea out there and people will want the idea. They'll come to you to ask the questions. And of course, I can serve them with speaking and all of that. But the idea right now is to reach the people who need it most. And the people who need it most are already being served by thousands. There must be a million coaches out there right now. People who are really doing a great job and who are also tapped out on what they're teaching. To give them a way to say, hey, it's not just resilience anymore. You can jump up above that and head towards self-actualization and self-esteem and all the things that pull us beyond. We know how that works in kids in school. You know, if you challenge them, they'll do great. So let's challenge our world right now to get out of this crazy that we're in with dangling the carrot of self-actualization. I mean, why not? Why not look that far out? Look toward transcendence and help people get there. And one of the greatest modalities that I've found that sustained me in that journey is music. So clearly I'm kind of in the role of being this musical mentor for people who want to be able to take it as a tool and then move it out to the people that they care for.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I love best about sound and music is that it transcends the mental body. Like, you do not actually have to explain to people that it's healing them. They can feel that it's healing them vibrationally because of the tones and the sounds and the intent that the musician or sound deliverer has. I often, when I am podcasting, whenever I'm presenting, I always come with intention. And my intention is that whatever comes out of my mouth from sound, in sound, just in the sound, is going to be activating or healing or enlightening or enlivening. So we're tracking together. Well, yeah. Bill. So I do have a funny question that wants to be asked, and that is, what else are you doing besides Music Cares? Like, what's your IT entrepreneur thing that you're doing besides Music Cares?
Well, that fortunately can run sort of on autopilot, which is nice. But my intention is to shut that down completely and to focus entirely on Music Care because the need is so great right now. So that's the over the cliff for me. In addition to that, I'm looking forward to working more closely with the San Diego Symphony, giving away tickets. We've been giving away tickets to veterans for several years now and over 5,000 tickets to date. And it's continuing. I love doing that kind of work and meeting people in a musical place. There's a movie coming on homelessness. I can't say too much more about that, but it's really gotten me in the heart. It's just a beautiful thing to be able to work at that level. So all these other things that have happened, you know, the book now is done, that won an award. Things just happen around you when you're in the lane, and it's nice to watch them and say, oh yeah, that happened, while you're focused on the next big thing down the road. So yeah it's that.
Well, great. So I love what you just said about things just happen. For me, I call those quinkles or sparkling coincidences. And one of the things that you just said is, oh, that happened and you're further down the lane doing other things. Do you pause to celebrate when you have those amazing, fun little quinkles that happen? And if so, what is your celebration? What do you do for celebration?
You know, as busy as we are, it takes time to stop and be with music. And so when I have to celebrate something, I will take time to sit there and play at the piano or the keyboard and just let it come up. Just before our podcast, my mom was tapping me on the shoulder. And one of the last pieces of music I played for her was Amazing Grace. And I fired up the keyboard and just was noodling around here before the podcast got started. And that's what came out, Amazing Grace. So that's the celebration. Yeah. And, you know, it's really cool because you can celebrate things that may not require like a big party. You know, just the moment that you have 5 minutes to sit at the piano and be with your music is a celebration. Or put on the headphones and be with a song that you love. That's the celebration. So that's how I do it. If it's a big deal, of course there'll be a party, though. Let's be honest.
Let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's have a Men on Purpose party. Well, you know, one thing that I really am hearing when I'm speaking to you and what I'm also feeling and sensing is you are a model for a multidimensional man on purpose. Like, there are men on purpose who are, you know, they have their one thing and they're in their one lane and they're doing their one thing. They're fabulous men and we love them. We love their commitment. We love their choices that they're making. We love their clarity in that one thing that they're doing. But what I'm hearing from you is that you really have manage to be weaving together all of the multidimensional facets of yourself into a cohesive whole that is making contributions on multiple fronts. So I just want to applaud you for that, Bill. And thank you for bringing that to our audience today. And I'm going to close with, what is it that you do when you need coaching or guidance? Do you have somebody that you count on?
You know, I'm a big believer in the power of our ancestors to mind us. And often when I'm stuck, I'll reach out in that way and just say, what is it that I need to know right now? Show me what I need to know. And it can come in any number of ways. It's often an inspirational kind of a thing, but it could be as simple as the cat climbing up on my keyboard and asking for a little love. I'm like, okay, where haven't I done the love today? Where is there an area of my life that I need to bring love? Those little things, if you're attuned to them and aware of them, oh, it's such a beautiful thing. And by being proactive, I get stuck less, but I still get plenty stuck all the time too. And this is big stuff. You got to be willing to be that deep into it if you're going to win it big.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes the stuckness is just an opportunity for us to reconnect with the ancestors again.
Always. Yes.
Yeah. When we forget, we just think we know it all and we're on our little path and then all of a sudden we're stuck and we're like, oh yeah, I got to be humble. I got to ask for help. So awesome.
Truly.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for being a helper of epic proportions in the lane that you're in or the multiple lanes that you're in. And thank you so much for being on the show, Bill. It was really a pleasure to go deep with you. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you think of today's show. We've got a new listener line set up where you can call in and actually leave a message. The number is 540-402-0043, extension 3333. Or you can send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.